Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Truth Is Out, the voice of the people. We got a very special show. We got two great candidates running for office, one in Ohio and one in down here in Broward County, C-23. I want to first introduce my co-host who came back on, Scarlett. How you doing?
I'm good. All information given out.
Okay. We also have right now a great candidate running in Ohio. His name is Mark Paquita. He is running against the Rhino in Ohio, Ron Portman. That race is until 2022, but we got him on early because he's running against the Machine. I want to make sure that he gives a good fight and take out a Rhino for a pro-Trumper. Now, let me introduce you to Mark Paquita. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. Tell us why you step in, a little bit about your campaign, and what your platform is.
I'd be glad to do that. Like many Trump supporters and conservative Republicans, I have been frustrated, at times angry, about the lack of representation that we really have in D.C. I have spent 20, almost 30 years building a business, which I sold the majority of late last year, early this year. The things have aligned for me, Joe. My business is sold. If you want to call it my retirement nest egg, it's in the bank. And I have the family support and the, let's say, community support to do this that many people don't have, right? So I look at it like this. you can either have a lot of money or you can have a lot of time and freedom to run for an office like this. And I have the latter. I have a lot of time and freedom. And I almost consider it something, a duty that I have to do. I think that we need to change the model of candidates that we have running. We've got to get rid of career politicians. We need people that have real life experience, have built businesses, have had a career, have raised families, and then decide it's time now to serve the country. And that's what I want to do. I'm not a career politician. I don't really have any anticipation of being there any more than one term. My goal would be to get in 2022 or early 2023 and be there for a transition when President Trump is leaving, because I believe that there is just too much opportunity for the swamp to backpedal and go back into exactly the behaviors that they had before he got there. So we need people who are going to drive that MAGA agenda forward after he's gone. And honestly, I don't see enough people in Washington who I believe would do that. And so that's why I'm running.
And how are your campaigns going? This is kind of early.
It's very early. I'm doing more. That's a great question. I'm doing more in terms of organization. I have two or three consultants working with me right now. My goal is to run a very efficient campaign financially. Because I have time, I can visit every county in Ohio. I mean, in a couple of weeks, I can be in every county, maybe not even a couple of weeks. I have the time to be there. I'm not beholden to any special interests. So we're just really getting started, because I haven't wanted to take away from the people who are running in 2020. My real energy will be applied to this, or my energy is applied to it. You'll see a lot of activity November 4th and after, once we've secured things on November 3rd this year.
What do you, in Ohio, what do you see as not only for your support, but for support for Trump and the mega candidates, the pro-Trump support lines in Ohio?
Do you mean how broad do I see it is, or...
Yeah, how broad? Is it bigger than 2016? Is it more enthusiastic? Is there any changes? Do you see anything that's seeing on your campaign? Do you see anything different than before?
So that's a great question. Here's what I've seen. I have very few people that have come up to me and said, you know, you're a jerk. I want Biden. Get out of here. I hate Trump. Very, very few people like that. I have a lot of people who are very, very supportive. And then another large group who are like, I'm totally supportive of you, but I'm scared to be too vocal because of what's happening right now. So there's a guy on Twitter, Right Wing Vet, that this morning posted, and I think this is very interesting. Let me ask you this, Joe. How many Joe Biden for president stickers, bumper stickers, have you seen in Florida?
None, actually.
None.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah,
He's not a presumptive candidate. He is a candidate.
I haven't seen pretty much any Democrat stickers anywhere on cars these days. I do see a couple signs for certain campaigns, but nothing as far as the major parties for president at all.
Don't you find that odd?
Every so long. Yeah.
There are very few signs around. And because of this pandemic, it's very closed in. Okay? From what I understand, Biden's not even doing a convention.
Right.
It's a virtual convention.
Yeah. So I just find this a very kind of bizarre environment to be in. I'm actually glad I'm not running in 2020 because I think that it's just a bizarre year. And
it's crazy. It's a crazy every which way for everybody. But have you seen or heard anything because of detentions going on right now through, because of, like, Black Lives Matter and people and stuff in the campaign, that the people are gravitating towards you and the Republicans more because of that as retaliatory from all the stuff that's happening for their own protection?
I think they are, Joe. I think they are. We had a situation in Bethel, Ohio, where Black Lives Matter. So Bethel is a suburb, a far-out suburb of Cincinnati. And a few weeks ago, Black Lives Matter started promoting a protest there, right? So this is not an urban area. And a number of bikers for Trump and people like that got involved and showed up at the same time that the Black Lives Matter protesters did. There was a little bit of a scuffle, but clearly there were two sides to the story on that day, where we usually only see one. And if you Google the stories, you'll see that some of the more mainstream media types have written some stories on it. But the reality is that the Black Lives Matter folks got run out of town, so to speak, in the sense that they were coming into a town that had no issues prior to them getting there, and they weren't going to allow people to come in and fabricate issues. They basically just sent them packing, politely, legally, without violence, but they sent them packing. And I think there's a lot of that going on there. I have had so many people come up to me and say, "You're very courageous for running, because I wouldn't want to be putting my name out there, because I'd be afraid people would, you know, vandalize my house, vandalize my cars, attack my family, you know." So my family is not here anymore. I'm an empty nester. I'm divorced. It's literally me and in town somewhere, my soon to be, my mom will be 89 years old on election day.
Wow.
And so I really, you know, I'm big on the Second Amendment. I've got a dog. I've got cameras. I'm fine. If you need to bring it, you can bring it with me. I mean, I'm good. I'm good with that. I don't want that. But I think that we all have to be prepared in the event that the things that happened in Bethel, Ohio, a few weeks ago, start to happen in our neighborhood. That's what I would say.
Okay. I have a caller. There's a caller online at 440. Let's see if he or she has a question for you. Hold on, okay?
Okay.
Hello, caller 440 area code. Do you have a question for our guest? Hello?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay. All right. If you have a question, I'll get back to you in a little bit. Hold on. All right. If you want to call and speak to Mark, it's 516-531-9836. He'll be up for another couple of minutes, and we got to get ready for the other guest. A couple of quick questions. You already said you're pro-Second Amendment. Are you pro-right to life?
I am pro-right to life, but I am, here's what I would say. I am pro-choice in the sense that I believe that the state should be deciding this. So this should not be a federal question, in my mind. We should be deciding this at the state level, and there should be absolutely no funding whatsoever for aborting lives. I am an Orthodox Christian, so I believe in the sanctity of life. That includes the elderly. That includes the infirm. That includes the it includes anybody that has a heartbeat.
So basically, you're against Roe v. Wade and activism from the traditional legislation from the judicial branch, so to speak. So
at the federal level, it should be handled by the state. So if California wants to do their thing, fine. But I know in Ohio, if we had a vote, we would not have abortion here in Ohio.
How about gay rights? We go in that route.
I have no. So there are some fights that I think we should wage, and others that we've got to win the war, not the battles. I am for gay rights and gay marriage. I have no issues with that.
Okay.
Here's what I'm not for, Joe. I'm not for special treatment for anybody because of their sexual preference, their color, or whatever it may be.
Okay. Hold on. I believe we got Mike Essen on the show. Hold on, Mike.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Mr. Tick. Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Hey.
Good. How are you, Mike?
I mean, Mark. Sorry. Good.
It's okay.
I want to ask you, how would you distinguish in the COVID case between keeping people safe and making it free, opening up the country? Are you more on the side of opening up the country, or are you somewhere in between? Please explain to Joe and his audience.
Yeah, so that's a great question. Thank you for that question. I am for opening up the country. The way I look at this is that I think we've been deceived by the numbers. I've spent a lot of time on this. Okay, I am 90% retired, and for the past 3 or 4 years, all I've been doing is research on the issues. Okay, so, and this issue specifically, intensively, the past few months. If you are compromised, okay, you're elderly or you have some kind of a pre-existing condition, you're compromised immunologically, then you should quarantine yourself. You should be away from people. Otherwise, I think we need to open the country up. It needs to be kind of like if you think you're putting yourself at risk, fine. Just don't put other people at risk. And the way you don't put other people at risk is to not have those people in front of you. Okay. So I don't think we should be taking the most compromised people and saying we're gonna optimize to the lowest common denominator and make everybody stay home. My mother's 88 years old. She's going to be 89 on election day. They have got her scared to death about this. I can't even have a conversation with her that's at all rational. It's like, this is terrible, blah, 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 blah. She wears a mask. I'm fine with that. I will wear a mask out because I think about what would it be like if my mom was here. It has nothing to do with the science behind it. And if you look at recent publications by the University of Minnesota, they've got an organization within their school that is all about infectious diseases. And they basically say that anybody who's telling you that a mask works has no idea, has not looked at the science. They're not saying it doesn't work. They're just saying that we have no proof that it works. Distancing works. Not putting yourself in front of people who may be infected works. But here's the question I would ask. And I am sleeping with a healthcare worker every night. Why have we, if this is so infectious, why have we not heard about more frontline healthcare workers getting this disease?
That's a great question, Mr. Fakita. There's no answer to it rationally. I'm one of these people who wants to reopen the country now.
You think we should open the country now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think we should have ever shut it down.
Well, I would agree with that.
We should have let it run its course.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
The thing is that we're facing everything on basically 3 to 4 million people with this virus and we actually got on. What's happening is with the H1N1, there was 84 million people had that, and we never had closures of any kind. We never had the mask. We had none of this stuff. And
I didn't get sick then, and I didn't get sick then.
The only difference between the two is the fact that Obama was in office back then and Trump's in office now, and I think this whole thing is all political to try and screw up the election.
Correct. I totally agree with that.
And all it did actually is brought people closer to Trump.
So
I would believe
at this time, I want you to give our listeners a way to get in contact with you, the website, and how to donate to the campaign. Very important.
Okay. So the easiest way is to get to the website. The website can get you everywhere else. It's Pukita 2022. So it's really easy. Pukita 2022.com. I've got other URLs out there, but that is the easiest. Pukita, six letters, 2022.com. I would appreciate donations. I will tell you that I'm looking more for support and for people to get the word out than I am money, although money helps. But I think we can do this on a shoestring because we have people who are really, really upset about the way the country is being run right now. They're upset about the way Donald Trump is being treated. And I think we have an opening here to do some really fabulous things with this country.
So you need volunteers, big-time volunteers.
I need
volunteers. You need the ground game.
Yeah, and people in Ohio especially can go to the website. It's a Nation Builder website. Nation Builder's a big hoster of websites for political campaigns. They have some great features in terms of you being able to say, I want to volunteer. I'll get an email. I can use all the help I can get.
Do you have an app that they could go to, a code, like with Trump is 88022?
I do not.
Do you have any
right app? Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I would, if I was you, I would do that on a statewide level. It makes it easy for updates.
Yeah, and that makes total sense, and I believe Nation Builder can do that, so I will look into that tonight.
I know, as a former candidate, I know that Nationwide does that. They do that.
Cool.
So,
Are you in a social media called Parler?
Yes, I've got a Parler account, I've got a Gab account, I've got an Instagram account, Facebook, Twitter. But the reality is that Twitter and Facebook and Instagram are probably where it's at right now, Scarlett, as you know. Dan Bongino has made an investment in Parler. I think that if Twitter keeps going the way they are with Jack continuing to censor conservatives, that Parler could really take off.
It has. Over the last few days, they're really going down hard on conservatives. With Keenan and a bunch of others, they're all being taken down.
Yeah.
And, of course, Laura Luma and a bunch of them. It's really bad, but actually it's making Parler really jump because most of the noise you hear in the background is from Parler coming through. Because I'm part of Parler too.
Yeah. And here's how I feel about social media, my position on social media. People say we need to regulate social media. I don't believe we need to regulate social media. We just need to enforce laws we have on the books. We need to make companies like Twitter choose whether they're a platform or a publisher. If they're a platform, then they need to get out of the censorship business. If they're in the censorship business, then they become a publisher and they're open to libel, slander kind of litigation. Our courts will
100%.
Take care of that. Class action suits will take care of that. I'd be glad
they
to
need
do
to
that
stand behind the First Amendment.
I'm sorry, Scarlett?
they need to stand behind the First Amendment. If
or
you
they
don't
need
like
to
it, you don't have
they're...
to read it. You don't have to be a friend.
Correct. Correct. I totally agree with that. They've got to make a choice. Right now, they get to play what used to be called when I was a kid, kitty by the door. They could just sit there and decide whether they're going to stay or go at any point in time. We need to make them choose.
I agree.
And I agree with
you
that.
Don't like
I want to.
It's the channel.
Okay, I'm going to see if the guy for 440 wants to ask you a question before we let you go. Hold on. 444, do you have any questions? 440, do you have any questions for Mark? Hello? Are you still listening?
No, I don't. I'm just listening to the conversation.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. All right. Again, give my listeners a website so we can get these going for you and try and build you up. Okay.
Great. Thanks, Joe. It's Pukita2022.com. Pukita2022.com. Pukita.com.
And
once
you
have the election and you start really deeply campaigning and taking over Ohio and drawing in those campaigners, the voters to come vote for you, you come back on our show. Would that be good for you?
Definitely.
And we'll give you the whole hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shirley, I'd like to be back before that. So we'll talk about that. I'll be in touch. But thank you very much.
Okay. I want to thank you so much for coming on. I want to thank you so much for coming on. Thank you again.
Okay. Have a great night.
No more rhinos.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. We're waiting now for Carla Spalding to come on to the show. The other guy got off too. The 440 person went off too.
Okay.
You were with
was
the
I
link
too
to
much?
No, you did fine.
I liked what he had to say about
the why.
I never thought about that. We need to think about the future and have tunnel vision.
Right. I'm going to play
gonna,
song so we have a break for a minute.
Who's going to be the next president?
Hold on. Welcome back to the show. That was Mark Pukita before. Now we got a great guest coming on right now. I want to introduce you a friend of mine, a very well-known, and the next congresswoman out of Florida's 23rd District, Carla Spalding. Hello, Carla.
Hey there. Hello there. Glad to have you.
How are you doing?
Good, good, good. No complaints.
We need to have a little intermission song while we take a little drink of water. Now getting ready for you, and we're excited over here because we see great things happening for you. Carla, introduce yourself to our audience.
Well, I am originally born and raised in, on an island called Kingston, Jamaica. That's where I'm from, and came here at the age of 18, shortly after which I joined the United States Navy, where I served 4 years of active duty. And after that, I came to Florida, great sunny Florida again, and became a registered nurse, worked at the VA hospital in Palm Beach for almost 7 years, and obtained a master's in nursing and a master's within education. Decided to run for Congress, and because of that, I think it's a great thing to be able to know that you can do something for your community, for your country, and now I'm ready to serve again. We have to start putting America and its citizens first, without a shadow of a doubt. That's one of the most important things right now for the accomplishment that I believe that should be done. We're not really in a good position at this time, as the violence continues, the uncertainty of many things and many issues. And I think that our leaders have to come together and come up with a common sense solution to help minimize all the different problems that we're having right now and the consequences because of some of the decisions that were made back a few years ago. So with that said, I am running for Congress and District 23, which covers Broward County, most of it, and then the northern part of Miami-Dade.
How is the reception in Broward, in your district, for what you're saying, and how would you answer the questions that you've been answering? Basically, what are the questions and how would you answer it?
I'm sorry, repeat that again.
Okay, when you're out there campaigning,
mm-hmm.
what is the most common questions they're asking you, and how did you respond?
Well, I think I would have to say that a lot of the concerns right now that I've been hearing is two things. One, the concern about how they're going to survive this epidemic and how they're going to manage even after. They're concerned about their safety. And right now, the only thing I could say to them is we have to remain strong. We have to try to follow some of the guidelines that we have in place for when it comes to the COVID-19. We have to get through this moment. And as you are aware, the guidelines changes all the time, whether it's from the CDC or from the WHO, it's not very consistent. But what they've come down with at the end of the day, actually I was reading an article of one of the ordinances. I'm not quite sure how they're being interpreted, but within Broward County, if I'm not mistaken, I'm seeing where it says that you have to, be able to wear a mask even at home. So I'm waiting to find out if that's really what it says. It's a pretty interesting executive order. I'm waiting to find out the conclusion. But going back to
After our conversation, I actually checked into that, and as far as I know, that hasn't been executed yet because of legal grounds. If you're going outside and you're with people, you wear a mask. If you're outside alone, you really don't need it. But that's up to individuals. But you, but as far as I know, as of about before the show started, there was no mandate about wearing masks in the house. But maybe outside when you're going to a lobby where there's a bunch of people, I would suggest to follow protocol because you don't know what someone else has.
That is correct. So we'll wait and see. Apparently on Friday there should be some announcements. So we'll find out on Friday. That's the gist that I'm getting. But another concern.
Yeah. But it's changing. Nobody what I'm saying to you, nobody really knows what one is doing because nobody's all out of disarray. Nobody's working together as a team.
Another concern is huge, and it's the business owners. They're very concerned how they're going to manage with the business being closed or they've been ordered to be closed again. Also, the safety of the community if they implement the EDD funding and removing the police from schools and also from certain departments. So that's another concern that they've been having, and I think it's a very good concern, as we know that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is part of that, where she would love to defund the police department. And we, as our citizens here, and we got to make sure that we do not allow that, simply because, as well, who would be defending the elderly, the children, and also the other vulnerable population. So I think we have to take all those into consideration before deciding to make this drastic change or changes that they're about to do. So I urge every single person, before you vote, make sure you can live with the consequences of what, you know, whoever you're voting for, what their belief system is, and what they would like to accomplish. Just make sure that it is in the best interest for you and your family. That's part of what I recommend. And that's what I've been telling them as well. You know, just make sure that they're going to be pleased with the outcome of who they're voting for. So, but what's your take on that?
I believe that's true. We, you know, defunding the police is not helping anybody but make things like, all you have to do is look what the end result is. Look at Portland and look at Chicago, look at New York, and the consequences of defunding the police in that area. The question is, would you want that in your area?
And that's a very good question. This is why I say they have to think and they have to make sure it's going to be in the best interest, you know, for them. And that is 100% right. Do you really want that in your community? And then you make that decision. So,
isn't that up to each individual town?
Is it up to
them? Shouldn't we have a mayor in each town?
Yes. But remember, majority
of... And Debbie is federal and has no say over the local. So I don't understand why she's expressing that.
Well, she has her followers who are voters, and voters can make a difference. You know, the mayor can. You don't know who she's linked with within the local community. You'll be very amazed. So we cannot take anything.
Oh no, I'm not very amazed about it. I know Debbie's corrupt because Mayor Judy F. Davey was just arrested and indicted. Pembroke Pines mayor is corrupt. Okay? My town, Sunrise, the mayor, he's corrupt. So, I mean, there's only one Republican mayor in the entire county, and that is Mayor Chris Vincent, which is in Lauderdale by the Sea. Otherwise, we have Democrat mayors throughout the county.
And
you're right. It's about the voters.
Reason. Yep, that is exactly right. So the powers are within their hands, and we have to live under their rules and their regulations. So this is why it's important for people now, hopefully their eyes are open and they can see the truth and be able to vote differently. And also the Republican Party as well shouldn't be silent. They need to get up and start putting people to run for the local seats, because at the local level, it's crucial. They're the ones that are making decisions for the schools, making decisions for, you know, majority of the issues that the people are experiencing. So if you don't have a representation, a proper representation within your community or communities, then these are fairly what the outcome would be.
You're talking about DiNapoli and Michelle Merrill?
No, I'm talking about just generally all Republican clubs. All Republican clubs, I think it's part of their duty to try and help find candidates, the local. Listen, we can't just rely on only federal. The federal have their rules and their jurisdiction just like the local government. They have a part, or they play a huge part. We need to make sure that we have candidates that can also run, that will be able to be a voice for other people as well. And we don't necessarily have that presence right now. And
we don't. I would agree with you.
Yes, we do not. That's a fact. Those are just strictly facts. So how do you expect to have changes? That's for the better. Absolutely not. It will not happen. And right now, people are going to be forced to be part of the social system by saying now parents have to quit their jobs to stay home and teach their children at home. And how are they going to survive? What if they have to work? Those who work, I'm sure it's okay if you're unemployed. But if you're not unemployed, you have to figure it a way. You can't just say quit your job and then do what? You know, you're going to have a lot of homeless people soon and a lot of people
well,
can't afford to
then
pay for their cars.
Vote out the Democrats. And then we'd have a Republican presence in the county. You know, you can't keep voting for the same people who do nothing for you.
The thing is, it's very rare to see a Republican stand up in local races. This is the first time we actually have a Republican challenging every one of the congressional races. The other thing is, but with the local races, the self-commissions, the school boards, stuff like that, and the state races, state house, state assembly, you don't see it down here. There are races that Democrats are not being challenged, and that's a problem.
That's what I need, because
it helps when we have everybody running in all these races. It helps not only the top candidate, which would be in this case would be Trump, but all the other candidates drain down because you're pulling votes towards you for each candidate. And that helps the other downline candidates. And it works all the way through. So, and with this environment right now, I think Trump's going to win by a landslide. And I believe that all the down candidates are going to be pretty strong. At least that's what we're seeing right now because of the environment
that
we're in. And Wayne
Clark, it looks like he's going to be winning the sheriff's seat.
Well, he's got to win the primary, and then and him and I are working on the general election. So,
yeah.
Well, one thing for sure, I know that President Trump, he is going to win, and that's just my personal opinion. And will win very large, and we'll see the outcome of that pretty soon. But in the meantime,
I believe he's going to. But
parents are very worried about the defunding of police.
Who
votes on that? Each mayor
Have we seen that the most of the other ones are either the mayors who made that decision as to whether they're going to defund? I guess it's a consensus group. But so far, the mayor seems to be having a real say as to what takes place. So we'll just have to wait and see. But right now, we're okay. Even though they may call for it, we haven't seen that group with the mayor right now. We have not had any
only person so far has
been Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's the only one that has called for that. No one else has that
and,
I know of.
I would pound the people on the campaign on that. It's a big talking point because without the police,
That'll be devastating to the children.
And the seniors and everyone else.
Yeah, it would be very difficult, very, very difficult. So we have a lot of main issues right now that we'll have to get through. Just going to have to get through, and I you know, it's hard for me even to comprehend some of the way of thinking of people. It's just some things are just not logical. I just don't understand how they think.
Say you're talking in front, instead of on the radio, but you're in front of a convention or something, like in Jacksonville, and you're able to say what you want to say for the next minute or two, can you talk about what you want to say to the people so you can seal the deal on 23?
What do you want to talk to the people? I think right now what I want everyone to hear and to understand, this is, to me, the most important election ever and probably ever will be. And it is so crucial for us to make sure you're doing something. Don't just sit back and wait. Don't wait. You have to help us. You have to help the candidates who are fighting for you, the citizen, and for America, and also for to help our president. This is just unbelievable to do. We're heading for a socialist country. And as you see the violence, we don't want that in Florida. We don't want that in our district. In fact, in America, period. With my leadership experience as a COVID rapid response nurse, as a college professor, and my military experience, we can do this together. We can make America where it needs to be again. This is what we have to fight for moving forward now. Do not be fooled or be blindsided by what they're asking and forcing you to do. This is not a socialist country, and this will never be a socialist country, but that is going to be left up to you to make that decision and to fight for it, just like we fought in the military for our freedom. We will not allow to give up our freedom at this time. We will not give up our freedom. And young people, you think socialist is so good or the Democrat Party is so good, you see where it's going to head you, you won't have any freedom. So if you like not having your freedom, go ahead and vote for the Democrats. But if you want freedom, jobs, security, and a life in this country and to keep this country safe, vote for me and vote for other Republicans. And that's what I would say. God bless you and God bless America.
And how will they get in contact with you?
Carlos,
give me your website.
Yeah, CarlosSpaldingForCongress.com. And that is CARLA and SPALDING, and it's FORCongress.com. Or I'm on Twitter, and the Twitter handle is the @ Carla_Spalding. And I have a YouTube channel. You can just type in Carlos Spalding for Congress, and it will come up. So we're out there.
And you have your trucks going by and everything else, so you're accessible to the people.
I didn't tell you that. Yes, they actually destroyed majority of my signs, which were quite expensive, actually. But we went around it, and we ordered they're not 18-foot wheelers. They're almost as big as that. And we've wrapped it around with the campaign. We have another truck that we have, and we're using that as well, getting ready to use that SUV. So we're doing the mobile advertisement at this time, and it's working lovely. So I don't have
right.
to concern about. So I have
okay, I want to thank you for coming. I know it's short time, but we only have limited space. I want to thank you for coming on the show.
No problem. Wonderful. Thanks for having me, and wishing you all the best
as
well.
Go Carla. Carla, you're a friend of mine. I love you. You're very good, and you're going to win.
Thank you. I better win. We better win this. We have to get the house back. What are you talking about? We have to.
Yeah.
We got to get Debbie out of
there. You are going to win. You're going to win. Jesse's going to win. And I think Laura Loomer's going to win. And I think there's two others, and 26 and 7, we're flipping those based on the polling. If that happens, we take five seats down here out of, I think, seven, it'll be a great sign. Because I think
Wonderful.
We only need to flip, it's like 18. I think we have to change 18 seats if I get it right.
I'm sorry?
I think we need to flip like 18 seats to take the house back.
Yes, that's what they said, yes. Yes.
And AOC's going to lose, and Omar's going to lose.
The one that's running against Omar raised over $2 million last quarter to almost like $400,000.
Wow. Yeah, she just got endorsed, I think, by Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, and this is a
and
bunch
AOC's
of
AOC's
going to
lose. Thank God.
And she's in trouble, too.
May I say something else? I'd like to say thanks to all of my supporters who have been fantastic. We raised $266,000 this quarter. So we did pretty good, considerably regarding, you know, the COVID-19. We've raised quite a bit, and I just want to
say
awesome.
Thanks. Awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Send
yes.
in the books,
you're doing great. You're doing great.
Got to vote out
and,
Debbie.
You
know?
That's it.
You really do. She is such a bad, bad person. She's off the wall, and she hurts people, and she suckers you. And they walk into the oven. It's time to open your eyes and your ears and your mind, people. Carla Spaulding is the best you're ever going to get. I'm telling you.
Thanks for saying that.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank
hey,
you.
It's
Thank
the
you
truth.
So much, Carla.
You know,
thank you for coming on, Carla.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you for coming on. God bless you.
You're welcome.
God bless your family. We'll have you on again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, my dear.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay. As we're coming towards the end of the show, we got 8 minutes left. So less than that.
You know, I didn't
thank,
know that the Schwartz I wanted to defund the police. Did you?
Yeah, this
you
like
well,
every year I knew. I actually touched all
that
stuff too.
Does anybody else backing that up?
No.
Does that mean defunding
nobody,
the sheriff also?
Yeah,
Hamzy
is wanted to do that. That's and both all three, Al Pollack, Tony, and Scott Israel on the Democratic side did not say a damn thing about Hamzy and his wanting to fund his own police department that he's a deputy of.
Are the people scared? Gotta need to start talking about.
Yeah, we're going to do that at a later date. I want to thank Mark Fukita, who's running for running for Senate in Ohio. He's going to be a great candidate. He's starting off early, but yeah,
he's
going
to knock out
when you're running against the machine.
That man ain't going to know what's going to hit him.
And he actually posted in the chat room, candidates need to challenge every common Democrat and Rhino. We need to make them spend money where they feel they are entitled. Everywhere, every
right.
state, every district. And
on.
I agree. And
that's
I want to thank my guest.
That's where we're going to do on our show. And she's right. Carla is so right about this. None of the local clubs, or whatever you want to call them, or want to make or do anything.
Then
if you know why
do
they
it,
don't
it,
do
it,
my opinion, they're rhinos.
Yeah. And she wants to say it on the air or anything like that, and I agree with that. But we knew what was going on in 22, and I and my girl over there, Jesse, I prepared her because I knew what she was heading into. And what they did. And so we waited, and they didn't ask the question to the last line, the last question. And that's what, and that actually did things. And Jesse was prepared for it, and we got that right.
She's going to whip Ted Boyd.
And by the way, just letting you know, we just got a screwy call coming through in this back end, which I'm not picking up. So somebody's harassing us. So we got a week. So the, yeah. Well,
Joe,
anyway.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah. Yes.
I just wanted to say, because I got to go, I got to take care of something. I wanted to say, excellent show. Excellent. I support
the
candidates.
Thank you, Scott.
Whatever I can do, I'll do. And God bless the country. God bless the president. God bless Mark Fukuda. God bless Carlos Walding. God bless you. And I'll be back on Sunday.
Son.
And this is Scarlett signing off. Good night, all.
All right. I want to thank with that. So I want to thank Mark Makita for coming on the show. He's going to be a great candidate. He's going to take out Portman. We're going to get rid of the rhinos. I want to thank Carla Spalding, a pretty good friend of mine. I love her daily. She's a good girl. She's a great candidate. Love her and support her. And she's going to win 23. I want to thank Mike Essen for coming on the show. Him and I came on his show. He comes on mine. Great radio show. I want to say good night to everybody. And Sunday we got one Robert Sutton, Bob Sutton's coming on the show. And maybe we'll get Laura Luma. I don't know. But Bob Sutton is coming on the show on Sunday. And we'll be talking about the campaigns around here. And we'll ask him the question about supporting the local candidates. And we'll go from there. I want to say thank you so much. Let's keep America great. Let's get this through so-called pandemic. Let's do what we need to do to keep people safe and make sure our law enforcement is funded. And understand that Black Lives Matter, as well as Antifa, are both terrorist organizations funded by the same people, and the money's heading directly to the DNC, so you know where to go. Vote out all the Democrats, vote Republican, make sure we get rid of the rhinos. God bless you. See you on Sunday. God bless you, and have a great day.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American.
forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the